is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The American economy, the global economy. I welcome Elizabeth Peake, writes a column at The Hill, comment Fox News. ElizabethPeake.com is where to see all of her comments and remarks and observations. Everyone's observing the Federal Reserve right now because of the presumption that interest rates, the discount rate now prints at 4.5%, is out of whack with the economy and its needs. Last week, we had what is characterized as a soft jobs number, meaning that there's a deceleration in the jobs market that has been one of the jewels of the American economy for some years now since the pandemic. However, Liz, a very good evening to you. The presumption I hear everywhere, even in the Financial Times from London, is that the Federal Reserve will begin to reduce the discount rate as soon as next week, and that the fun stuff is, will they do it 3 times before the end of the year, 4 times, 2 times? Will they be half point, quarter point? What is your vote? Good evening, Liz.
Good evening, John. I think that the markets have settled on near certainty that the Fed will cut rates by 25 basis points at their upcoming meeting. There is a growing estimate of 50 basis points because people are pretty convinced that the jobs market is really cratering. And where does that come from? Yeah, we had a soft jobs market jobs report last week, but also the number of quits is way down. Confidence in getting a new job is way down. A new survey was out today showing Americans are pretty pessimistic that if they quit their job, they'll be able to get something better, which, of course, during post-COVID years, everyone was very bullish on their prospects. So the quits number reported by the Bureau of Labor Statistics really went up. I think also we have to talk about the fact that there has been a massive downward revision in the job additions over the year that ended in March. The BLS came out with that this morning and saying that there were 919,000 fewer jobs than reported that were actually created. Here's the reality, John. No one actually knows what the numbers are. And I think this report from the BLS will do several things. One, it'll make people pretty confident that the job market has not been as rosy as the Biden administration was reporting, or that the Trump administration has reporting. Not that those two presidents are lying about the jobs, but they got faulty information, and but really faulty information. So, now we're sort of in this peculiar time where President Trump fired the head of the BLS, acknowledging that the numbers are all over the place, and he was completely right, and in my view, completely right to make that personnel change, because part of the problem is that the response rate on the surveys that have been sent out periodically by the BLS has been plummeting, and they didn't fix it. That some of the measurements they use are basically out of date. You have two different surveys, the household survey and the establishment survey. And during Biden's period, that became a million jobs farther apart than it ever had been. And once again, like last week's report showing that only tens of thousands of jobs had been reported, 22,000 had been added. The household, that was the establishment survey, the household survey showed that almost 300,000 jobs had been added. So honestly, it's a mess. And so I think, number one, this is going to really solidify what President Trump's trying to do and try and clean up the BLS, make it more competent, more reliable. Number two, I think this is going to spur expectations of more than 25 basis points cut at the meeting coming up, and for sure more cuts than in the months that follow before the end of the year. Remember, Powell lately was talking about, yes, the risk seems to be increasingly on the employment side. So he was sort of hinting that they'll cut rates, but he also was quick to say that doesn't mean we're going to continue to cut rates. My guess is the expectation of that changes right now. I think that people are going to be optimistic on Wall Street that you'll see a lower rate environment going forward.
Bloomberg kindly puts up a chart that makes this even more mysterious that the Federal Reserve missed it. This is from the year 2015 to the year 2025. The chart is called Preliminary Benchmark Payrolls Revision for March of that year. In other words, comparable for 24, 23, 22, 21. Revision at that point. The plus number that I see that's significant is 22. That was plus 462. That's the jobs growth you talked about, Liz, coming out of the pandemic. But 23 was negative 306 revision. 24 was negative 818,000 revision. Yeah. 25 yeah. now a 9/11. In other words, they've seen this. They could have seen this for 3 years. And is it a coincidence that's the 3 years we've been talking about the rates are being kept too high? Is it just never call it a conspiracy when you can call it a coincidence?
Well, I mean, that's a good point. It is kind of profoundly wrong. But here's the other thing. There have been an awful lot of other indicators that the job market was getting a little softer over the last, let's say, 6 months. The JOLTS number, which is the job openings and labor turnover statistics, those were weakening. The number of firings measured by a group called Challenger, those were rising. And by the way, here's something that remarkably Jay Powell has yet to talk much about, and even that analysts on Wall Street aren't really talking much about, which is the impact of AI. Every now and then you see an article saying, well, you know, companies are, today there was an article in Axios or Bloomberg or someplace talking about, you know, companies are spending all these tens of millions, in some case billions of dollars on AI, and they've yet to see much return on that investment. Well, what is the return on your investment if you're just not hiring as many people? And I think that's what's happening. If you talk to bankers, for example, yeah, they're still hiring first-year analysts. They have to, because they have to have people who become managing directors down the road, but they're not hiring as many. If you talk to law firms, yes, they're hiring paralegals, but they're not hiring as many. I mean, these jobs, the white-collar jobs recession, I think is real, and I think it's around the edges beginning to show up also in the hiring numbers. So that's going to accelerate, I think, as companies demand, in effect, from their various divisions, you know, show us what this is providing. You're spending all this money on AI. What's it doing for me? That what they can point to really most easily is either layoffs or reduced hiring. And I think that's going to have a, you know, cast a pall over the jobs market going forward. You know, offsetting that, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent was talking about how he's confident that we'll see an acceleration in the economy as we go towards the end of the year. You can't ignore the pledges and promises made by companies and countries to start building here, manufacturing here, et cetera, which, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, Bessent said to some reporter, you know, you don't just flick a switch and all of a sudden you have a manufacturing plant. It takes time. It takes, you know, hiring. It takes construction, et cetera. But I do think that those enormous, I think the incentives in the reconciliation bill, particularly affecting the write-off, the tax write-offs of investment in equipment and plant, are going to be very powerful. I think the fact that we've got such cheap energy in this country is very powerful. And I think the tariffs are very powerful. So those things combined, and we've seen what companies are promising to do and the expectations of what countries will do, I do think we're going to start seeing a reversal in the decline in manufacturing, which, by the way, went on during the summer months, but it's been going on for a long time. During Biden's tenure, it definitely dropped the number of people in manufacturing. And by the way, some of the plants that are going to be built in terms of output versus man hours, they're not going to be so many people in those plants, but they will be creating wealth. They will be adding some jobs. And I think we'll begin to see that in the next 6 months.
My contribution, AI, does it save money? Does it focus the profits from one company to another? This morning, FT had an article about how travel agencies, travel online sites, the big ones, Expedia, have to change quickly because AI is about to become your travel agent.
No, yeah, human easily.
Secondly, Bloomberg already when you go to the summary at the top of the article, below the picture, it says AI generated for the bullet points.
Oh, gosh.
And that, and in our work, Liz, I go from Gemini at Google for a summary of the segment. I go to Anthropic's Claude for a copy edit and comment. And then I check with Grok to make sure all the statistics line up, and then I post it. That is an enormous crew that I just hired for a monthly release. And what do you mean? Is it going to make us money? Of course it is. It eliminates people that you can't, whom you couldn't afford to hire in the first place.
Exactly. There's no question. It is improving productivity in all kinds of ways. But unfortunately, a lot of that productivity gain, I think, is going to come at the expense of hiring.
It has already. There's one more detail, only because it's not in the news. Have you noticed that there's no more melodrama about Powell and Cook and the Federal Reserve Board?
Well, I actually did think that the whole hysteria about Fed independence was overdone, because I think an awful lot of people look at the Fed, they say they've really never been independent. It's always been a political appointment, after all, the head of the Fed. The head of the Fed has always been answerable or somewhat beholden to the president who appointed him. Jay Powell obviously is a pretty good example of the contrary, that they hold no loyalty to the person who appointed them. I think that the conversation about Fed independence got overdone. And I think people began to focus more on the fact that, Jay Powell kind of blew it again by not beginning to cut rates earlier. An awful lot of people were sounding the alarms, John, and saying this has to happen. And honestly, when he just completely ignores, and I think continues to ignore, the fact that our housing market is just a complete mess. It's totally frozen because of the rapid ramp up of rates that took place after rates went to zero, which probably never should have happened. But you just had this huge lock in of 2-3% mortgages. People refused to sell, and that's still going on. So, yes, we need lower rates. I do think it'll be helpful to the housing market and to young families trying to buy a house. But also small businesses trying to get credit, et cetera. We need lower rates. Jay Powell should have seen this coming, and he didn't.
And AI will be right there pitching houses to you, as many as you want.
That's probably true.
Untouched by human hands. Just put in what you want, and AI will respond. Elizabeth Peake, The Hill, a columnist, a Fox News, a columnist, ElizabethPeake.com, all of her columns together and her thoughts. We're going to turn to ICE. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.